Hi there, my name is C.
I'm D, and you're listening to
Swinging Down Under. Our journey as a couple through the swinging lifestyle.
Are you into open relationships?
Or exploring new things in life?
This is our podcast. Join
in. Experiences.
Both good and bad.
Reviews and events.
And more. Here's Swinging Down Under. Come on.
Join us. This is C.
And this is D.
And this is Swinging Down Under, episode 69.
You just sprung that on me, you know, you realise that, right? Like, I was just, you said you were going to do some testing and then, like, bam, we're on.
Yeah, I did. So D is currently down under. He's currently in Australia and we're Skype recording this interview because that's how technologically advanced D is. So welcome to episode 69. Today's a big one because we're going to talk about... It's episode 69, exactly.
A position where nobody's satisfied.
And what better way to celebrate episode 69 than talking about our favourite sex positions? This shit can't write itself, am I right?
The what? Like, the shit can write itself, man.
No, the shit like writes this itself. Yeah, it writes itself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So we're talking about sex positions later in the episode at the end. We've got two recordings from some of the people that attended our Perth pub crawl, so we're going to play them for you at the end of this episode. But for now, let's kind of jump into a few announcements just real quick before we get started. We will be announcing a new segment on our podcast today. So we would like to show the world a little bit more about sex positivity, sexual experiences, exploration, and really everything to do with sex in other countries. So we are wanting to, on every second one of our podcasts, interview a couple from somewhere else in the world for about half an hour. That'll go on the end of our podcast, all about their sexual experiences and really what how culture kind of plays into that. So if you are in another foreign country anywhere in the world, then please do reach out to us on cnd@swingingdownunder.com. We'd love to get together with you. Upcoming, we've got some guy, actually a guy from New Zealand. We've got a couple from Toronto, Canada, some people from, I think, another Canadian couple. So all around the world. So we're really wanting to bring forward some of that differences in, you know, how people express themselves sexually in other countries.
And what, you know, the history of their country, how it plays with their sexuality.
Yeah, really. Because, you know, oftentimes, I'm just getting a bit sidetracked, but oftentimes Dee and I will talk to other countries about when something as, not simple, don't get me wrong, but something as common as when we lost our virginity, right? And some people from certain countries or certain cities within those countries, they lose their mind a little bit, like, whoa, that was young, whereas that might be the average age for perhaps an Australian, whereas the average age for another country could be totally different, right?
Yeah, we've certainly seen that already.
Yeah, and then little things like, you know, bondage or tantric sex or sexuality.
Little things like bondage?
Little things like bondage.
Just a little thing.
It was just a small paddle. There was only, like, little knobs on it. It's fine.
Just these little things.
Just little things, yeah. So if you want to catch up with us every second podcast, about half an hour, we would love to hear from you. We want to bring a little bit of information to the listeners about how people are exploring their sexuality all around the world. So let's get together and help people understand a little bit more about your culture through sex.
Yeah, it's like how we understand people's culture through food, but totally different.
Exactly.
Well, it is kind of food. Can be food, I suppose.
Right. So, Dee, I've done my homework. I am curious whether or not you've done your homework about some sexual positions. I've got the lingo
what
down.
Do you mean
I've got the descriptions.
What do you mean you've done your homework. You've done some searching on Google. I know my favourite sex positions because they're my favourite sex positions.
I mean that I've had a manicorn here all week and just been like really trying to figure it out, like what's good, what's not. No, that's not what we were
yeah,
doing.
Absolutely.
Sorry,
I
missed
no
the beat.
With that. I mean, you probably should have just told me his name before you started. That would have been the polite way to go.
If I knew his name, I'd probably mention it.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, that's okay. Fair enough. So he's just been, like, coming around, has he?
Hasn't really left. It's a bit awkward, really. I don't really know how to get rid of him now. So,
especially since you don't know his name, you can't say, like, hey, you go away.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm going to go first. These are in, actually, I'll do one, you'll do one. These are in no particular order of like my.
Why are they not in particular order? Shouldn't it be prioritized? The top, your favorite sex position or your least, not least favorite? But
well, I have like seven. I've got like my top seven.
Shit on. Okay.
Okay. Now, this one most people will know, I would imagine. Reverse cowgirl, also known as Rodeo Drive, halfway around the world. I didn't really realize that, but it kind of makes sense, like it's 180. So reverse cowgirl technique, of course, the guy lies on his back, the lady is riding him but facing away.
Is that your number seven?
This is in my top seven. Reverse cowgirl, why I like it for me personally is because I think that you can get a lot of movement out of it. You can like stay upright, vertical, and bounce that way. You can kind of like lean forward and like grab his ankles and ride his cock that way. And I think there's a lot of movement that you can have on it. And obviously for me as well, I know what he's seeing behind me. So that also turns me on, like understanding what his view is. And I like playing to that a little bit, you know, like just like riding up the top of the cock to on the tip and just bouncing a little bit there and then going deep and stuff like that. So that's a great position for me. Also can be really good if you lean forward, you can get some clitoral stimulus there as well. So that's a lot of fun. That's my one of, in no particular order, my top seven.
Few questions.
Yep.
How do you obtain clitoral stimulation?
Well, using my hands, but I'm just saying, like, it's a good.
So I'm just curious. Yeah, I was just curious as to how you, like, because I'm thinking my testicles are, like, not up that high for you to get clitoral stimulation from my testicles. So I'm just trying to figure out, you know, where
it's. No,
where
and it there's happen. Probably not enough, there's probably not enough force field in them to be able to rub well enough to get that stimulation. So no, it's my hands. I'm just saying it's a good lean forward. You can rub at the same time as you're kind of bouncing up and down. There's free movement. There's not like anything in the way, gotcha, to stop you from touching your own clit.
Gotcha. Okay. So that's actually my number one.
Fuck
so,
off.
That's my favorite position.
Reverse cowgirl is your number one.
Yep.
Why do you like it?
Why do I like it? Because of all the things you've just described. You know, the view is pretty awesome. And also I get to play with your cute little asshole when I decide I want to.
That's true. And you are a fan of watching a guy's cock slide in and out. What, there's a term for it, right?
Yeah, there is, but I can never remember what it is. Okay. I'm sure somebody will tell me, but it's when you see the pussy stretch on the way out and sort of like just cling that extra little bit to the penis.
Yeah, like the folds of your labia minora and majora kind of like pulling down a little bit as you're coming up.
It's actually kind of your vagina, I'm going to say, just kind of stretching out a little bit.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. I actually really like that. For those of you who remember, I really liked it when we were with a single guy who had a immense penis and he was doing that with you. You remember that? Remember discussing that?
I do remember us discussing that situation. I don't remember us actually doing reverse cowgirl. I actually thought I was.
No, you didn't do reverse cowgirl, yeah. But his cock was immense. He didn't need reverse cowgirl to achieve the same sort of thing.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah. Okay, so what is your second one then? Since we'll start with you now.
Why are we starting with me now?
Okay, fuck it. I'll go again. I don't care. David Copperfield is my.
I don't know. I have no idea what the fucking David Copperfield
I know.
Is.
It is also known as the trick or treat. It is apparently the sex position is the pièce de résistance for women who prefer a strong upward stroking motion. Basically, it is me lying on my back and D giving me cunnilingus, and there's a pillow underneath my hips, so it's raising my pelvic bone for better abilities for D to get in there, and it's him giving, yeah, so cunnilingus, me on my back. My legs and my knees are up over his shoulders, and I'm on a pillow. So if you can imagine, my hips are raised, so my pelvic is raised, and my knees are up, and my legs are over his shoulders, and he is giving me cunnilingus. So apparently it is the best way to amplify oral efforts with a slight possible sleight of hand trick in there as well. So in other words, it gives the, because my pelvic bone is raised, it gives D the option to give me cunnilingus, and at the same time he can use his fingers to penetrate me and get my G-spot. So that is definitely up there. Apparently it's called the David Copperfield.
I would have just called that the missionary of going down on a chick.
No, but my knees and my legs are up over your shoulders, you see, so that's not always the case. Like mainly when a lady is getting cunnilingus, her legs are just spread. They're not necessarily up over the top. and pelvic bone elevated. So that's the difference. Why I like it, because it's delightful. And
so it's the woman who enjoys the missionary of going down on them.
Are you hating on my position that I've chosen? Is that what's happening right now?
No, I just because you're enjoying it. Right? That's the whole idea. I mean, as soon as I've found that as soon as a woman starts enjoying themselves, I actually use that as a bit of a measure when they start to lift the pelvis and push the leg, you know, lift the knees up and back as well. I thought that was kind of a measurement that I was going all right.
Well, it's the David Copperfield or the trick or treat. That's the sex position. By the way, I was trying to figure out today how many sex positions actually existed out there or what the number is. I think it's around 240, 245, 247. I found very different websites suggesting that it was, you know, kind of around that 240 mark. So I'm going to call it 240, but somewhere between 240, 250 different sex positions out there in the world.
Oh, I think there's a lot more than that. Anyone who's ever read the Kama Sutra knows Kama Sutra has like
245.
Yeah, but that's not all of them.
Well, according to the interwebs, but I could be wrong. If you practice or know anything about the Kama Sutra, please let us know.
Pretty sure there's no DP in the Kama Sutra.
Well, there you go.
Nor is there DVP, nor DAP, nor, what is it, TAP or TP? Well, that doesn't sound right, does it?
No.
Nobody wants TP.
No.
Well, people do want TP, but no, yeah, I think we know where I went there.
There's dead silence on the line while we wait for you to decide yeah. what your next sex position is rather than talking about that.
My next sex position was the dog. That's my second favourite, I think, the dog position.
Your second favourite?
Now, there's some additions to that because we certainly had somebody give some guidance on this, somebody I was listening to, about using a pillow as a thrust increaser.
Thrust enhancer?
Yeah, by like grabbing the pillow either side of the lady and pulling them back with the pillow whilst thrusting forward.
Yeah, so the pillow goes underneath their hips and you can use like one pillow or two or three for increasing. Yeah. And then going into like a dog down position, but you can also then use that one pillow if you had it underneath them and to hold on to, which also stops you from needing to hold on to other things and then like, yeah, fuck them with the pillow.
Yeah.
Just so making sure people knew the pillow wasn't over her head, that's all.
Yeah, there's a few things I really like about that. There's certainly obviously the penetration and the dog gives quite deep penetration for the guy as well, but also I like sometimes feeling that I'm in charge, and that certainly gives that feeling, whether it's the case or not. I really enjoy it when a lady decides that she's going to, you know, really throw herself back at me as well. That's really sexy when, you know, she gets into it. I like the fact that I can possibly reach their hair and give it a tug if they're into that sort of thing. Still like the exposure of the arsehole. That's, you know, a little bit of fun as well, but mostly I like the ability. One of my probably the favorite part for me on a lady's body is the top of the hip as it comes back in to give the definition and curve that goes along with that. That is where my hands go.
You've just made me horny by your explanation of that position.
Good.
Why aren't you home for another week? This is bullshit.
Yeah, so that's really cool. So, and additionally, when I'm thrusting, it's nice to see the movement of the thrust waves as I hit her ass. You know, I can see that movement also wave up through her skin. That's really quite cool.
All right, well, I'm going to skip forward a few because I also had the man's best friend down as a sex position that I liked, also known as doggy style. There you go. So this one, benefits, deep penetration and an erotic view. So everything that you've explained there, Dee, but probably slightly more sensual way of explaining it, maybe. I don't know.
Yep.
Technique. This could be your next move. Entering her from behind, you'll be able to thrust deep so that the tip of your penis touches her cervix. An often neglected pleasure zone, but if you did it slowly and gently, Some women find it painful, which is very, very true. It is a great position. I quite enjoy it. I do enjoy thrusting back on D, but two things that I will say, we use pillows a lot. Like we use sometimes the one pillow for him to grab and, like, you know, fuck me. We use sometimes three pillows to elevate me a little bit, and I can use those underneath my hips, and I can then lean forward in a bit more of a, like a downward dog type motion. It also then, that position opens up ability for me to then use a toy on my clit as well, because there's extra space then down there if I'm slightly elevated in the hips. And yeah, and it's a great position for that. But yes, it absolutely can, you know, if you aren't ready for play, or perhaps you're with a particularly, you know, a shape that definitely hits your cervix, it can be quite painful, or it can also irritate you a little bit. So it's, yeah, definitely important, I think, for play partners to understand the depth and understand the capabilities of the particular, not the capabilities, but the shape of the lady when they're playing, especially in a swinging environment. Because I know, for example, Dee, you have done this move on a number of ladies, and perhaps they've found it slightly uncomfortable, and you've had to kind of shift around a little bit, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you find it uncomfortable with me sometimes as well, depending on whether we've had a lot of foreplay, or we're just getting down and straight into it. You know, the just the extra relaxation of your vagina makes it can be either a pleasurable or something not so pleasurable for you.
Yeah. And for those ladies out there who experience, sorry, Dee, this is a bit of a sidestep, but if you do experience things like urinary tract infections, UTIs, or things that, you know, you are irritated after play, sometimes, depending on the penetration level, the dog position can actually irritate you a little bit more. And so you may find that after certain positions during sexual play, you're more susceptible to getting things like a UTI, purely just because you've aggravated the area. So that's just something to be mindful of. But it's a fucking hot position, and I love it. And now I'm horny from your description of it. Thanks, Dee.
Awesome. Well, I'm glad to hear that. Perhaps your manicorn that you've got there will be
hanging out in the background.
Yeah.
Actually, my vibrator ran out of charge last night, so I got to go put it on charge. It's pretty serious situation here in the C&D household.
Well, it's the C household just now, but yes, the C&D household, absolutely. Yes.
Nothing but porn. Okay, gift porn. I'm going to go now.
You do love your gift porn.
My next sex position is the pretzel.
The pretzel?
The pretzel, yeah. It's also known as the pretzel dip and the camel ride, which was super weird for me. I've never heard it called this, so let me explain it. But this is basically where you take a lady who's been lying on her back and shift her slightly over to one side. She's not fully on her side, but she's basically pivoted almost in like a diagonal position, and the guy will get on, basically go into her and penetrate her in a sitting up motion, but one leg is over the top of him and the other is underneath him. So it's basically like a spoon, but he is upright, sitting upright, and she's kind of like off to the side. So sometimes, Dee, like, for example, on the weekend, we were spoons fucking, and then you got up and penetrated me from a sitting up motion, and then you put my leg over one side of you. So that's the pretzel, if I can explain it in that way.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I'm not sure there's any other way to describe it other than the way you just have.
Yeah, it's a tough one. But the benefits of this as well is a deep penetration. So it's like doggy style, but you're face to face a little bit. But yes, you can get quite deep in your lady. And I guess that's one of the reasons why sometimes we're doing it as well, because with the similar motion with the pillow and the doggy style, you can grab my legs and my body, my hips, and again, really penetrate me. But with this particular position, I mean, I can shift around and I can move, but I don't have as much control as I would if we're in the doggy position. So it really relies a lot on the guy. But basically, yeah, so you kneel and you're straddling her, well, left leg perhaps over you, and she's lying on her left side, and that's going to give you an idea of that. And I can post a picture up of this on the podcast to show people what the hell I'm talking
about.
On
the line?
On the line.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that doesn't fit in, certainly not into my top seven, not even into my top 10, I wouldn't think. It's, it's certainly an interesting position, and sometimes I do enjoy it, but not all the time.
Yeah. And if I'm going to say a downside with that particular position, it's probably the ability to stimulate yourselves, like touch your clit while he's fucking you as well. So for me, it's good, but definitely it's not something that we will generally, one, use very often, or two, you know, use frequently in terms of like constantly throughout a sex session. We wouldn't just use that one position. We tend to, if we do use it, it's because we're doing multiple positions in one sex session.
Yeah, I would agree.
You're up.
Oh, am I?
Sixth position to batter up.
My next in line would probably be anal, but from the front, so missionary anal.
Now, we mentioned this recently to someone and they were like, oh, we haven't tried that before. So I don't know, do you want to give a little bit of detail? Because I didn't add this because I knew you were going to add this one, so I didn't actually put this one down. But do you want to talk maybe about the first time we did it and then why you like it?
Yeah, I mean, the reason I like it immensely because you get, I suppose, for lack of a better term, the excitement and / dirtiness of anal, but I also get to look at your eyes, look at your expression, that sort of thing as well, and understand what you're enjoying, not enjoying. That's what I like about it.
And sometimes we do. So I'm on my back. Again, it's missionary anal. So I'm on my back, D's facing me. Sometimes we put a pillow underneath there, but I don't know. How often would you say we actually push my pelvic bone up?
Well, not that often because it's quite a full-on position anyway, so it doesn't really require a lot else to really push that along. I think that's what I think anyway. I don't know that it needs anything more to make it, to get it more erotic. I mean, it's pretty erotic the way it sits already.
Yeah, and I think personally that one of the benefits I keep going back to, and the ability to stimulate your clit, is that you can, not only can I get in there, there's a lot of room to use toys on myself, my fingers, my hands, whatever on myself. D can do that too. He can use his hands, his fingers to stimulate me either internally to hit my G-spot with his fingers or outside externally on my clit. But then he also gets to see all of that. So it's like anal with benefits. He gets to see all of the extra interaction. Whereas if we were just doing doggy style, like he knows, he can feel, he can maybe see or feel the vibrations. If we're doing doggy anal and I'm playing with like a vibrator or playing with my clit, he knows what's going on and he can get that excitement. But this way you get to actually see it.
Yes. It's amazing to watch, and also really can be quite full on as well in terms of, you know, what you're kind of getting away with. You know, it's like a sneaky, sexy anal.
That's definitely end play too. I wouldn't say we don't generally start our sessions with that. I think we generally finish them. Like that's our finishing. If we're going to do that, we know that we're going to come quite quickly. And so we'll actually use that last.
Yeah, that would be fair.
I don't think we've ever kind of come back from that. If it's always like a finish game, like a game finisher.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree.
Yeah. I wish I could add a sports because reference in there, but
because it's fucking awesome is why.
Okay. Right. Next one for me. So the next one is the G Whiz. Okay. This one is also called the shoulder holder or the anvil. Does that give you a guess on what it is?
No.
Okay.
Not even in the slightest.
This one as well allows G-spot penetration and targeting the G-spot, and it is basically missionary with him straddling over the top of me and my legs over the top of his shoulders with him leaning down as well. So he's kneeling between my legs, I'm raising them over, resting my calves on his shoulders, and basically he can just fuck me that way. This position as well, I think, gives you a lot of flexibility in terms of me moving and rocking backwards and forwards, actually able to then, you know, give some thrust, and then also at the same time D is able to, you know, control what's happening as well.
Okay.
Yeah, that's called the G-Wiz.
The G-Wiz, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like it. It's, I mean, just legs over shoulders is what, you know, it'd be normally known as.
Well, you know what it is about that too? I don't know what – I kind of feel like that's a sexy, very feminine position for me. I don't know why, but it feels like I can be – I'm like a woman in control. You know, I'm okay with my sexuality, kind of throwing the legs over the top, having a good time. I don't know. That's just kind of how it feels for me.
Yeah, okay. Well, there you go.
All right. You're up.
The next one down for me would be – I don't know – the name of it or even if it has a name, but you face down with your laying down flat with your legs together and me fucking you from behind.
It's called the flat iron, and it's my next position.
The flat iron.
Yep. It's called the flat iron, also known as the downward dog or the belly flop.
I feel like that. I feel like somebody's just been making up titles for this. Like, I don't think it is actually, you know, anything.
Well, that's what it's called, and apparently it intensifies vaginal pleasure. And so she lies face down on the bed, knees slightly bent, hips slightly raised, and for comfort to increase the angle of her hips. Place a pillow underneath if you want, or leave it flat, and then you enter her from behind.
Yeah, I don't know that I necessarily agree with the knees bent, you know, hips raised thing. For me, I'm like the full flat, you know, just like flat.
Okay, you want a flat iron. Why do you like it?
Yeah. Well, there's really only one reason for it is it's a position of power, and it also – well, sorry, the one other reason is that it's you know, it's not only your vagina that I'm involved with here. Now I'm talking – we're now talking about your legs being together, so your legs are tightly pressed as well. So it's really just intensifying the tightness and – you know, and also the wetness, and also on, you know, my pubic region is rubbing against your sexy ass as well. So that's something else that does it for me.
Apparently, it's doing for you. We're getting the feedback. So I think you get a bit hot and heavy on the other end of the line here, D.
The shush.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Didn't even realize I was shushing.
And my last position is one that I chose because we do this on occasion.
Are we up to seven already?
Yeah, this is my last one.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Is that because we had some crossover?
Yes, it's because we had some crossover. My last one.
At least we've got some crossover.
Yeah. What have we got, like two or three out of the seven? I think we had some crossover, but this is my last one. I don't think this will be in your top 10. For me, this is a good one for intimacy, if also you just kind of want to reconnect. Sometimes you can throw a leg over as well. It also is because I love my neck being kissed and breathed on, and all of those types of things. So this is the sleeper hold, or aka spooning, basically the spoon. So spoon fucking in bed on your side, him from coming up from behind you. Like I said, you can have a leg, you can have a leg over if you want and expose your pussy to play with, or you can just leave it so that you're spooning. Doesn't really matter, but it's a good position if you just want to kind of like catch up and, you know, kind of like a nice little wake-up player. Like I said, you can throw a leg over, and if you want, play a little clit stimulation at the same time.
It's almost like everything revolves around this whole clit stimulation.
I'm just throwing it out there. I'm talking about multiple opportunity play here. That's what I'm about. It's like multiple opportunity play. And I must also admit, you've mentioned having access to the asshole one or two times now. So you're all about multiple opportunity play too, I feel like.
No, just about your asshole.
That's my seventh one. Does that even come in your top 10?
Yes, it would be in my top 10, but certainly not toward the top of my top 10.
Yeah.
It'd probably be in the lower. It'd be in the lower half for sure.
Interesting. Okay, I mean,
it just depends on the evening. You know, it depends on what. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't think it's not really something that I would do in a play session with another couple.
Oh no,
actually, that's not true. That's not true. I would do that if we both wanted to watch. You like if I wanted to watch you with somebody else and they also wanted to watch that, then I would possibly do that then.
Actually, I think I vaguely remember us doing this play whilst we were in same room sex with another couple, and I think he was either doing her dog, his only partner, doggy or missionary or something, and we were lying on our sides fucking watching. And so you're probably right. Like it's good for a play session if maybe you and your partner want to watch the other couple fucking, or maybe you're late in a play session, you've swapped around a little bit and you've had three or four positions and then you're kind of like laying there chillaxing and then decide to maybe go for one more session.
Yeah, absolutely. I think when you're, you know, especially for me, if I've finished maybe once or maybe twice even, but are still erect and interested, you're still playing on the other side of the bed with somebody else, then it's a nice sort of gentle way for me to play some more with the lady.
I agree.
Yeah.
Okay, any more positions on your list?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's at least at least one more, and that is shower sex.
Ah, shower sex. Tell us about the shower sex.
Well, and there's certainly at least two ways that I've been involved, we've been involved in this. One of them is from behind. That's pretty cool. You know, like just it's sort of a standing doggy style. That's pretty awesome. And the next one would be just a leg up, you know, one leg up scenario where you've got a leg almost up under my armpit with one leg still on the ground while I'm fucking you. That's pretty cool as well. So I like both of those. But I'll just group that under shower sex.
Shower sex, yep. And yep. We used to do we have a pretty large shower here in Singapore, actually. It's probably enough for you could probably hold an orgy in there. But I don't know, how often do you think we use shower sex in our repertoire?
Not very regularly, and that's probably got something to do with the fact that the hot water in our shower is fucking terrible.
That's true, actually. I think if the because we have two shower sections, and I think if the rain shower worked better, it'd be definitely more often in the repertoire.
Well, the rain shower, for those of you who don't understand the world that is Singapore, the rain shower in our bathroom or in our shower is fantastic in that it is not hooked up to hot water. And that is because in Singapore, the water in the walls is generally pretty warm. But, you know, when I like a hot shower, I like a proper hot shower, not a sort of lukewarmy, middle-of-the-road hot shower.
Exactly. So shower sex. Any other sex positions from you today, Dee?
I think I've covered, you know, certainly some of my tops.
Excellent. You'll notice that 69 wasn't in there, Dee. Why was 69 not in there for you? Explain it to me.
69's not in there for one simple reason. And I think that's because it's a good fun move, but it's not something that will get anyone toward the top end of enjoyment, you know, the top end of town. It's not
at the same time. Pretty hard.
Well, not even at the same time. I think it's pretty rare that even one person get off, because generally you're concentrating on what you're doing as well as trying to get off, and I just don't think that works. Well, it certainly doesn't work for me.
Yeah, I think it's a good starter. It's kind of like a party trick almost, like you pull it out of your bag of tricks. I think visually it can be quite stimulating for the guy, the girl, you know, depending on whether he's on his back, she's on her back. You know, obviously you can do it either way. Most people, when they think 69, they think the guy's on his back and the girl's on top, but you can actually do it the other way around. So do experiment with that a little bit. But, yeah.
You can do it laying side by side.
Side by side, top and tail.
But that's not the problem for me is that I don't ever feel like I can accurately get myself to a region of the pussy to get, you know, either a good stimulation on the clitoris and because of the way you're situated, it's also very hard to get a finger stimulation of the G-spot or anything else for that matter. So I always feel like I'm doing half a job when I'm involved in a 69.
Yeah, me too. I always feel like I'm doing half a job or I'm only getting half the pleasure and the stimulation as well. I think also like height plays a big deal into this too, right? Like if you've got two pretty mismatched people in terms of height, like I'm just thinking about the couples that we see here in Singapore where you might have like a Caucasian guy who's quite tall and then perhaps an Asian lady who might be shorter. I mean, their version of a 69 is quite tough, right? Because it's not equally matching up in terms of their height and the ability to do that. So I think, yeah, it's a nice party trick, but probably we'd use it maybe at the start of play to fool around a little bit, but we certainly wouldn't settle there and we'd move on pretty quickly, I imagine.
Yeah, so that's like our start play. Then we have like penetrative sex in the middle and then we finish with the front-facing anal that we're talking about. Well, is that right?
That's basically it.
That's our that's Tuesday night.
That's repertoire, yep.
Tuesday night.
So that's everything for today's 69 Sex Positions podcast, guys. Thanks for hanging in with us. As we mentioned before, we do have some audio at the end of this podcast from two of our friends that came to the Perth pub crawl, one couple from Brisbane, which you'll hear, or Brizzy in Australia, and another couple from Perth, Western Australia. These guys have been on our podcast before. They've also been on a number of other podcasters, and you'll see them on Twitter as well, and we'll mention their details in the link. But really, really appreciate you guys hanging out with us today and talking about sex positions. Send us your favorites or your least favorites. Maybe that's I think, cool.
I think you missed something there as well. It's called Bris Vegas.
What did I say?
Don't. You said Brizzy.
Brizzy, Bris Vegas.
Yeah, but Bris Vegas, you forgot. So, you know, just throwing it out.
Yeah, all right. Somebody once said to me, like, why is it Bris Vegas? And I said, I have no idea.
Because it's Brisbane, but, you know, it's like Vegas. It's where all the parties happen.
That's an outright lie. If you're heading down to Australia, send Dee and I an email. We'll tell you where to go. We are actually from Brisbane, officially. Well, technically.
Whoa.
I'm from Brisbane.
Yeah.
Okay. Dee's from a much, much loserishville than Brisbane. But, hey, you know, you can't hold that against him. He's a good guy, guys. Just, you know, stop sending the hate mail. Okay. He loves it.
And stop trying to 69 me, you weirdos.
And stop trying to 69 him in the street. It gets awkward. That's something that we didn't actually choose, and we haven't done this yet, but I was looking at the sex positions today, and one is standing 69. And I would like...
Yeah, we're not doing that.
No, I want to try. I want to try, but I'm a little bit concerned about breaking my neck. So if you all, if you don't hear from us again, if the podcast goes dead, something happens and we stop replying on Twitter, it's because we tried the standing up 69. C fell on her neck. And that was the end of that story. That's all she wrote, folks.
Well, she fell on her head and that broke her neck.
Yeah, fell on her neck, broke her neck.
Yep.
So you can catch us on Twitter at Swing Down Under. This is C.
And this is D. Ciao, my Bella.
G'day, C and D. It's Naughty.
And Rocket.
And we're just going to quickly do a review of the pub crawl you did down here in Perth. So for a start, we might just say there were three venues. Two out of them we'd never been to before, which is a bit of a surprise because we have done a fair bit of pub crawling in that area ourselves. That was interesting. What did you think of them, Rocket?
I thought they were all pretty good venues. I think the first one, well, the first and the second probably be really good for anything, even if you didn't want to crawl, like if you wanted to stay somewhere because of the space. The third one I thought was a bit less conducive to the whole group thing, but that could just be because we'd had a bit more to drink and we were in the smaller space talking to people, particular people, rather than... But there was stuff going on outside of that room that adjoined the sort of main bar area, which I had no concept of it, of what was happening because we were in this sort of smaller area. So it was a bit more separate.
Yeah, and the first one was really fantastic because even though it was early in the night, so there were very few other people there, but it had a roped off area, a bit more exclusive area, but you could still see whatever else was happening around the place as opposed to it being really separated.
Yeah, and I suspect that the time of night makes a difference too because there wasn't anyone else there at that first one, whereas at the last one, the bar had quite a lot of people in when we walked in. So it's going to be more difficult to sort of know where your group is and have everyone together.
Yeah, and the second venue we missed, that's the one we'd been to before, we missed out a little bit of what was happening there because we called a screaming halt to have some food with another couple. So
two couples stayed downstairs and ordered some food, which is a really good move because I'd gotten to the top of the stairs when Mrs. B said, oh, no, I'm going to get food, and I just pivoted on my foot and went, yep, because I'm probably likely to fall down these stairs if I try going down them any later. So, yeah, food
was
worthwhile.
Yeah, definitely a good thing. And what did you think of the people? So this was a group that was... had nominated interest and vastly more interest than there was spaces available, and C&D and whoever else had gone through and picked the people. What did you think of that group?
I thought it was great. We've been to maybe two meet and greets before in Perth, and I don't think we met anybody the same who had been to those things. So it was nice to meet a different group of people. Nice age range. I didn't feel like an old duck, which I had thought I might. And just really welcoming and fun. It was great.
Yeah, and there were some benefits to actually meeting a few of the group earlier on in the evening, which was what the other podcast that was being done was about. And so that was a really good thing as well, I thought.
Yeah, so we were lucky enough to be involved in that, which was fantastic, just to have a few drinks and meet a few people. It made me less I don't think I'm very good at this stuff, going into a big group of people that I don't know and trying to just meet people and, you know, just be friendly and not worry about whether or not they're going to think you're trying to be sleazy or any of that sort of stuff. So having a smaller group and being able to just socialise a bit beforehand was fantastic.
And it was really interesting for me because we had a guy come over who'd heard us on probably By the Buys podcast, I think, and just wanted to say g'day and said he'd been going through all these podcasts in rapid succession because his work allowed him to do that. So that was nice to have someone come over to do that. And I'm sure C&D get that all the time, but that was another opportunity just to have something to chat to someone about and get to meet someone who's another really nice person. So that was good. Following on from the three pubs, we all, not all of us, sorry, a bunch of us climbed aboard the Limbocene and headed off to the club. What did you think of that ride?
It was great. It was good having the different situation. It's not a noisy, well, it had music, but it's not a noisy dark club. So people could sit in different spots, chat to someone different. It was interesting to see how people grouped or didn't group. And the poll was funny. Great to have the opportunity of a poll just to provide some entertainment, really. And there was some pretty good entertainment. Jay from Swinging Out West was probably the pole dancing queen, I think. We were pretty impressed. So, yeah, the ride overall was great. Good fun. Didn't have to drive. And yeah, it kept the group together. So there's no kind of wind down while you're in the car driving yourself or in separate taxis driving yourself to the club. It's really good.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point because I think Jay from Swinging Out West certainly did wind things up that tad more. So, yeah, that's a good point. And the club itself, so this was a club that we'd never been to before. We'd been on the Friday night to the other club, major club in Perth. So I think there's probably three or four now, but two major ones. And this one's a new one, as in relatively new built and everything. So it's nice and fresh. What did you think of the club?
Yeah, I really liked the way that it was set up as a nightclub. So there's dancing and lights and music. I liked that. I would have liked a tour, but I understand that it's very difficult when you've got a bunch of people arriving at once. I would maybe have liked even to be able to pick up a piece of paper. If they just handed you a bit of paper and said, look, we'd normally give you a tour. There's so many people arriving at once. Here's just a basic floor map that says you are here. Here's the loos. Here's the playrooms. This playroom has an open door policy, whatever. Just the basics, which people might not look at depending on their level of inebriation or whether with their care factor, really, but I would have liked.
Yeah, I agree, and I think it was a great venue. It did have a range of rooms and a great area and all that sort of stuff. I found the action around near the, not lockers, they were more large pigeonholes, whatever those are called.
Yeah, where people were changing and
where people were
stuff.
Putting their stuff, where they were also getting changed as well. That was quite entertaining as well. And I think it was a really great venue and a good pick. But as you said, that question about what to do in what areas did lead us a little astray. Astray is probably not the right word, but it was. So we all tried to cram into it. So let me take a step back. There was a bunch of us, four couples, chatting, and that was really good. We probably did less exploring because we were more grouped together with that group.
Yeah, early formed group.
Yeah, so we were chatting to them, and then I'm not even sure who came up with the idea, but it was brilliant to probably head to a room and try one out. And we all tried to cram into a room that was way too small, and then had to try and back out of that. I was at the back end, so I didn't really see inside even. But then we headed to another room and we're playing there. But apparently it was an open room. So
we had the door closed.
Yeah, we had the door closed. We had other people in there who we didn't know, which probably wouldn't have been our choice, but that was the way things were rolling. And then one of the lovely ladies working behind the bar came and bellowed at us that this was a open room and we couldn't close the door and those sorts of rules that we just didn't know about. And wiser heads might have tried to find that stuff out first. We probably should have. But we probably weren't thinking along those lines at that point when we first arrived. So something simple might be, like you say, as a simple A5, just saying, here's a quick map, here's the rules for each room.
Yeah, because we're not experienced club people. That's unusual for us to choose to go and we haven't been very often, let alone played in them. So you live and learn.
Yeah, and I think out of the whole set of things, that's a pretty minor thing to have an issue with. It was not long after that we decided to move on and went back to someone else's hotel, which was really lovely as well, which is a nice end to the night. The other highlight for me,
to the morning.
Yeah, well, it ended up being a very late one. Yes, that's true. And the other bit that I find is a particular highlight, which wipes out any slight bit of issue with the bedroom or the room issue, was having a lovely younger lady come up to me and say we didn't get to play together and we should do that in the future, which made me go, hell yeah. So that's our quick wrap-up. Anything else you wanted to cover in that?
No, I don't think so.
So thanks, C and D, probably more particularly C, because I understand that she did a lot of the work on pulling this together. It's a massive effort to do from a distance, and that's a, you know, the outcome was absolutely amazing. And I think there's a whole bunch of people in Perth who have now got connections to a whole bunch of other people and probably got stories to tell as well. So thanks very much for a great night and a fantastic pub crawl.
And if we were going to, if anyone was wondering whether, well, is it worth it and were you going to do it again? Well, if the opportunity came up, most definitely we would be on the list to come again. And we travelled a fair way to attend the event and we had a great time.
Yeah, and we'd certainly travel it again. So thanks, C. Thanks, D. Thanks very much.
Catch you later.
See ya.
Hi, I'm B.
And I'm S.
And we're here to tell you about our little adventure we had last weekend that was one of many firsts.
So we were lucky enough to go to Perth for the Perth pub crawl that C&D organised, which was quite impressive and it was great fun. And the amazing thing for us is we're Queenslanders and I just happened to be working over there for 2 weeks in southwest Western Australia, and then we found this was on.
And the Lions were playing the following day.
That's right, so on the like Sunday. And they won, by the way.
And they won.
Which was surprising. But anyway, but on the Saturday night, we managed to go on the Perth pub crawl.
But what did we do before that?
So beforehand, we... oh, yeah, we stayed at the same place that C&D were at. And so we caught up with C&D and also Rocket and Naughty. And also the S&J from the Swinging Out West crew. And I can't remember his name. Fell from the
red hot pie. He organised,
But he was, and he was a lovely fella, but I can't remember his name. So my
apologies.
Sorry
about that.
But, so we caught up with all our crew and that was really nice.
And we got to
really
participate in the podcast.
In the podcast, yes.
So that was a first. That was one of our firsts.
I know. And so, anyway, so we did all that. We turned up upstairs. Remember, everyone else was all glammed up.
Yeah, we're all glammed up, and here we are, El Cajo.
And I was there in my Birkenstocks, and
I was there in my skirt and very conservative looking.
But it was all good. And so we had a great time. And then
we did. Oh no!
What?
Rocket and I decided to show our boobies.
Oh yes,
that was okay.
Oh yes,
that sort of broke the ice a bit.
Totally appreciated. From our end.
I'm glad.
So we met we met all these people and they're all lovely and it was kind of like we were kids. Like I was a kid in a candy shop.
You were definitely a kid in a candy shop.
And but anyway, the
it was so good putting faces to names.
Yes. So all our Twitter friends.
Yeah.
Yes. So we So we did all that and we had a nice time and caught up and then we went out on the pub crawl. Pub crawl was great fun. And so we that was where it sort of went on a little bit more.
Yeah.
And we
A lot of meeting and greeting. A lot of money laundering.
A lot of money laundering.
With the fake money.
Oh yes, that's right. I got Ms. B over here and Rocket to kiss. That was my first little.
How many times? 10 bribe. Times.
That was my one party trick, and
I did the party trick.
Yes, I know. I had the money. I had the magic money.
Show me the money.
And we ended up.
We went back to the club.
Yeah, so we went to a few different bars and then we ended up going to the club, which was all fun. And then we went to a little, found a room and did what we do.
Had a little play.
Yeah, and then went back to our hotel.
Well, no, it all sort of started, it was sort of like finished. We sort of thought, and then Naughty said, he whispered to me, he goes, do you want to see if we can go back to one of each other's places? And he went and had a little chat, and I had a little chat to you, and then that was a big first because we've never done that.
That was a first, and it was nice. It was really nice.
Yeah, it was really good.
I get all a bit overexcited and got a bit.
Yeah, a bit overwhelmed,
but it was good. It was good, and it was really lovely. And they were lovely, lovely people.
They were really lovely. So that was nice to do that first
week. Yeah, we're lovely people. And what else was it? And then the following day, do we want to talk about the following day already?
The following day. It took about like 4 days to recover.
No, I'm talking about the football.
Oh, well, you made me walk 4 kilometres to the stadium, and I was a bit sore from the night before, but that doesn't matter. That was like, but it was sore in a nice way.
It was a nice way, yeah. So we went to the football, and then we had another nice afternoon because our Lions beat the Dockers, which was surprising, but it was also
we were there just essentially to see the stadium. First. Yeah. Oh, that was another first,
But anyway, I think we've probably talked enough.
No, we can never talk enough.
But anyway, so I want to say a big thank you to C&D. It was lovely to meet you both, and also to Naughty Rocket as well, and the other guys that we met.
All it was
the,
just and so the, lovely.
The Swinging Out West crew, S&J.
It was so lovely to put faces to names, and everyone was just so friendly.
Yeah. And so, so C&D, thank you so much for organising everything, and thank you for letting us being part of your podcast, and we hope to see you soon.
Definitely.
Thank you. Okay, bye.
Hey guys, it's C here again. Just real quickly, I actually wanted to cover a topic that is a little bit near and dear to my heart. I was having a chat to some of our friends over in the States. You may know them as the Italian couple. And I was talking to Nick about the reasons why we podcast. And I guess you could almost kind of classify this a little bit as a social media buzz section if you really want to and like hold me to my segments. But I was chatting to Nick about why D&I podcast, you know, really what it means for us to podcast, put this out there, you know, have our voices out and our opinions out there in the ether and have, you know, people listening. And I guess this kind of came about because there's been a lot of discussion around, you know, listeners, what listeners value in podcasts, what people want to hear, you know, awards for podcasting and participation and what, you know, really what you guys get out of it. I mean, there's so many voices out there. There was a recent post on Twitter where someone said, and well, they gave some feedback and they were saying, you know, podcasts these days, they're kind of saying the same thing, but in their own flavor. Another person felt that podcasters, you know, quote unquote, seem to be know-it-alls. You know, really interesting perspectives. And I sat back and I really thought about it. And of course, some of the circumstances surrounding our podcast are our thoughts and our feelings, and some may resonate with some people and not with others, or some may be similar to your journey or completely far and separated from your own journey. And I guess from my perspective, that's one of the values of having such a broad spectrum of voices out there in the world, such a diverse range of people's opinions, because, you know, whilst one person or one podcast may not be to your journey or your liking or may not resonate with you, you're bound to find somebody else out there who really is actually speaking to you and can resonate with you. So I was chatting to Nick about this, you know, D&I and our journey for our podcasting journey has been quite a big one. And yet we keep going. And really, it came down to having this discussion. I actually made a few notes because it kind of hit me like a bit of a wow factor. But we were talking about, you know, what have we accomplished over the past few years of podcasting? And for me, it has been a lot about, and we have this term, you know, we always say the community this, the community that. But to me, to be able to actually be far removed in a country here in Singapore, but have friends who I value deeply all over the world, who I could go and stay with at their house, no problems, who would lend me money if I needed it, who would be a shoulder to cry on if I needed it. That's kind of what we always say about this whole idea of the community. But then Nick brought something to my attention and he said, you know, the podcast, you know, is great, fine. But in actual fact, it's everything outside of the podcast that defines why you would continue to do this. And so, you know, we were chatting about this and I was sitting back going, yeah, you know, you're right. And it hit me like a brick. He said that some people may have made friendships out of your podcast. Some people may have attended one of your events and met lifelong friends. Other people may have learned and attended their own journey or maybe decided what they like or don't like. And so these were the kind of things that really just, I thought to myself, like, yeah, okay, that's actually really interesting. It's not necessarily the podcast in an essence in itself. It's everything else that comes along with it. And, you know, even I was saying to some friends recently, occasionally they host events, they host pub crawls too. And I said, really, does it blow your mind that you may have actually connected two people, four people, six people, whatever the case. And you may have connected people on a level that these people have impacted each other so much that they're going to be friends for the rest of their life, or pants on pants off friends, whatever the case may be. And I thought, Jesus, that's just crazy to even think about. So I guess that's just some of my thoughts on why we podcast, why we continue to podcast. But also, interestingly, one of our fellow podcasters just actually today, Normalizing Non-Monogamy, posted up about a podcast they'd been listening to. And this lady's called Paula Pant. She does this podcast called Afford Anything. And the particular episode that Finn was sharing was about being able to be authentic. And Dee and I talk about this a lot, you know, how to remain authentic, how to give our opinion and be authentic, but also give our opinion in a way that's not in your face, you know, that's not suggesting that our opinion is the only opinion or the right way to go about swinging or joining the lifestyle or non-monogamy or the vanilla life or whatever it may be. And in this episode, Paula describes three things about authenticity. And a few of them, I mean, these are really super interesting, but one of them resonated with me and I kind of just wanted to share it because I know that, you know, a lot of our listeners, you are in some way creating something in your everyday life, maybe through your work, maybe you're writing, maybe you're blogging. You know, it could be anything that you're out there doing. And one of the items that she says is you're responsible for what you do. You're not responsible for how you're viewed. And that resonated with me because of this whole post the other day about, you know, podcasters being know-it-alls. And I thought, you know, it hit me. I thought, wow, that's kind of terrible. I hope people don't really think that podcasters think they know it all, because I know everybody is genuinely just telling their story and in the hope that it may help, I guess, even just one person. I know that's why we started. We were like, if we get one listener that, you know, thinks that we can help them, that's amazing. And so I was sitting there thinking about it a little bit glum, like this is a bit crappy if that's really how this podcasting community is viewed, that, you know, we're these know-it-alls. And then I thought, well, hold on a second. You do need to remain authentic. You need to have an opinion and a voice, but at the same time, respect other people's opinions and respect other people's voices. And so you don't alter your own, but certainly, you know, you do put it out there in a manner that is respectful without seeming like this know-it-all. So I really liked that. You're responsible for what you do. You're not responsible for how you're viewed. And so, yeah, that's something that I just wanted to kind of catch up with you all about and chat about. And thank you so much, everybody, for writing in recently. We've had some really amazing emails. I want to shout out real quick to two new unicorns, hopefully to the lifestyle scene in Sydney, A and S. Now, I've been emailing with these girls backwards and forwards. They're going to actually go to an Our Secret spot, meet and mingle, I hope, soon, and dip their toes into the non-monogamy lifestyle as unicorns in Sydney. So I'm super, super excited for that. And also, don't forget, I mentioned it earlier in this episode, we do have already a few interviews underway. But Dee and I are releasing what we hope to be a really special segment, and we want to share and showcase how cultural diversity and sexual diversity happen in different countries. And we're going to get really into the nitty-gritty. We actually have a interview coming up that we're going to record this Sunday. We'll launch it in about 2 weeks' time. And this is with a Kiwi manicorn who is quite the little kinkster. And the reason we want to interview him is because we want to bring flavor to the podcasting community, to the listeners out there, to help you kind of branch and grow and understand how different cultures approach sexuality, how different cultures approach sex in general. You know, we talk a lot about how you would lose your virginity at what age, you know, what religion plays into how you feel about yourself. How do you look in the mirror and see yourself and look at, you know, your pussy, for example, and think, yes, it's beautiful and I'm beautiful. Or some cultures don't even look at themselves and haven't even masturbated or used toys and these types of things. Some people grow up in really conservative lifestyles. Other people grow up in very open lifestyle, very open families where they do talk a lot about sex. And so we really wanted to bring that flavor out. And so we are looking for people all around the world And we're hoping for a lot of cultural diversity here. So if you are born in something that you think would be interesting for other people to know about, religion, whatever it might be, any country around the world, of course, we do only speak English. So I apologize. It would need to be in English that we'd have a chat, but please do send us an email on cnd@swingingdownunder.com. And we'd love to email and interview you over Skype, and we'll talk about anything that you are comfortable with. But please help us to showcase, you know, your beautiful culture to the rest of the world and how that's impacted your sexual exposure and sexual experiences. We really want to do that. And guys, of course, as always, please do try and follow us on Twitter if you're there, @SwingDownUnder. And of course, please do rate us on any of the feedback locations, ratings where you actually have downloaded this podcast, on any of your podcast catchers. Of course, iTunes is there for you as well. And we always appreciate the heck out of those. So thank you again for listening. This is C from Swinging Down Under. I just wanted to kind of throw that last segment in there as a little bit of a nugget of surprise. I really appreciate you listening. Have a great day, guys. Bye.